Welcome to the Wine Scholar Guild podcast. I'm Valerie Caruso, a wine educator and your podcast host. Today, we're talking with Catrin Nylapa of Wines from Spain. Catrin was raised in Mexico City and studied in Madrid. Her first career was in international banking before joining Wines from Spain, where she has been serving as director since 2001. She has spearheaded iconic programs such as Spain's Great Match, Wines from Spain's prominent participation in the Food and Wine Classic in Aspen, and educational seminars at top industry events and culinary schools and universities. She is in charge of PR and communications programs, ambassador programs, and leads annual press and SOM trips to Spain. As you might have guessed, she has traveled to and is familiar with most of Spain's regions. Welcome, Catrin.
Nice to be here, Valerie.
I'm so glad you were able to find time to join us. I know you've been traveling and you have been very busy the last couple of weeks. I think some of us might have stalked you a little bit on Instagram. You were at SOMCON and traveling around doing a lot of Wines from Spain things.
Fall is always insanely busy for those of us in the wine promotion business.
Yeah, we see a lot of activity. And those of us that are at home are kind of like, oh, I wish we could be there. Oh, and there. Oh, and there. So it seems like you've been everywhere. But I do understand that you've been with Wines from Spain for 25 years. Could you tell our listeners what Wines from Spain does?
Well, Wines from Spain, we are part of the Spanish governmental export promotion organization, E6, and we promote Spanish wine in all ways, both to the American consumers and buyers, as well as, very importantly, we help Spanish companies find homes in the market. Our main function really is to help build the market for Spanish wines in the United States.
Okay. Now, how did you get involved in Spanish wine? Because like many of us in the wine profession, we started out somewhere else, and then we ended up a couple decades later in the wine world. How did you get involved in Spanish wine and this organization from international banking?
Well, it was a fairly deliberate decision on my part to leave the finance world and dedicate myself to marketing product that I was really passionate about. I had the good fortune of having worked on a couple winery transactions in my finance career, and that kind of opened my eyes to the fact that these companies were producing a product that I was intensely interested in. I just started dabbling in taking wine courses, partly because we entertained a lot, and I felt like it was going to be very useful for me to know how to order off of a wine list. It was also, wine had been really a drink of choice, my preferred drink, even while throughout college. And of course, that the year that I spent in Madrid, in Spain. So I sort of very systematically went through the process of figuring out what was it that I could do in the wine industry that would both use my previous skills, my language abilities, and allow me to work with a product that was little known, but had clearly had a long way to go.
Well, you mentioned that the product was little known because you got involved, like we said, 25 years ago. So since you've been involved, what has been the impact of Wines from Spain with regard to how Spanish wine is perceived around the U.S., particularly now as compared to back then?
Well, I do think the impact has been huge. I think, and this really to the credit of our parent organization, they have been very, very consistent over the years and have never let up their focus on building the U.S. market. So when I began, there was, I can remember sitting down with the then director and being, given basically a list of these are the 8 to 10 importers that are bringing any Spanish wine into the U.S. market. And, it was a list of, if at most 25 or 30 wineries. And I mean, I have to tell you that there are over nearly 1,000 Spanish wineries exporting to the U.S. market now, and just, hundreds of importers who have Spanish wines in their portfolio. Can we keep track of them all? No, we absolutely cannot at this stage, but it is really heartwarming to see what the impact has been when you look back that far.
I'm sure anyone who's had to gather wines for a blind tasting or study for exams, as you once have, can appreciate how much easier it is to now go out and get a bottle of, say, Priorat or Caladiu than it used to be. Oh, absolutely.
Well, I mean, at the very beginning, I feel like those regions were not even on anyone's radar, except possibly for a couple, two or three really, really passionate importers who were starting to introduce the wines into the market. And I really have to say that, you know, it is thanks to some of these what I'd call trailblazing importers that our and our institutional knowledge of what was available in the market grew.
A lot of people, including you, have been anxiously awaiting this particular launch of the Spanish Wine Scholar Guild program, or the Spanish Wine Scholar program. Can you explain a little bit of how Wines from Spain has been involved with the development of this program, and maybe how you see it impacting the Spanish wine industry, and in specific, the global wine scene in general?
Well, I think it's long overdue. I think a really good in-depth course for everything from just passionate consumers to trade who are trying to build their awareness, and not even their awareness, you know, deep knowledge of the Spanish wine world. We've been wanting something like this for a very, very long time. And there, while there have been some, you know, people dabbling in creating, you know, one day seminars, deep, you know, in-depth seminars, there hasn't been anything of this depth till now. We got involved, you know, fairly early on when the Wine Scholar Guild was first considering adding a Spanish course to their list. They started with the French Wine Scholar and moved on to the Italian, and so we were very glad that we were the third chosen country, as we should be, because we are one of the top three wine producing countries in the world. But in this market, Spain has not played at that same level as have our other two big European competitors. So when they decided to put the resources behind creating this, we certainly tried to help in every way we could, and facilitated, you know, some travel opportunities for the organization, and ultimately for the author of the course, Rick Fitcher, who I had the pleasure of traveling with, and who I've had the pleasure of meeting over several years at different industry events. So I think most directly, that's how we were involved. But looking forward, I think it's going to be hugely important, and I think the demand that we've already seen by the market for this course, it just demonstrates the interest that really does exist today for Spanish wine.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, because the French Wine Scholar and the Italian Wine Scholar programs have been very well received on a global scale. So you're seeing a similar interest for a program for the wines of Spain, is what I'm hearing.
Right. And I mean, it's just, Spain is a very confusing country, and the poor, just like, you know, France and Italy, with just, you know, hundreds of different indigenous grape varieties and regions, and so someone who first just may start dabbling in it, or salespeople working for, you know, distributors and retail stores, starting with them, they have a, you know, tremendous interest in knowing a little bit more about where these wines come from, the regions, the grapes, understanding them. So there was no one central place for them to go and learn about the breadth of regions, grapes, and wine types.
And that's true, that I think a lot of people will walk into a wine shop and they usually think, oh, French, what about Italian? It's like, oh, hey, Spain's over here.
Right.
You know, don't forget us. So I'm kind of curious, who do you think a program like this is going to appeal to most? Is it just professionals, or do you see a consumer interest?
Oh, I definitely see a consumer interest. I mean, just even based on our own events that we produce, like the Spain's Great Match, but just the interest that consumers are showing, and they're not, and it used to be they were interested in one, two, or three different wines. I mean, certainly Cava for, you know, sparkling wine, Rioja, mm-hmm. which has been really the mainstay in the market since the very beginning. But then as Spain and the importers started introducing new wines and new regions, and I think the consumer interest has followed. Do we still have a long way to go? Absolutely. But I think nowadays there are, you know, a great number of consumers who are really trying to get in depth and specialize in, you know, for as a hobby. So I don't think we should rule out that this course is going to be interesting to consumers. Although I think from where the real profound need was for the wine trade.
Oh, of course, especially if they're going to be selling wines from regions that most people don't think about when they walk into their purveyor and are looking for a nice bottle. So it's nice to have that background and tell the story behind a wine or a region, or, you know, like the wines of stone, or, you know, like the different regions have their sayings that they associate with the wines.
Right.
Yeah. Now, you are currently enrolled in the Spanish Wine Scholar Program, but I'm curious because, you know, we're just kind of getting this thing off the ground. What are you looking forward to learning the most?
Well, I mean, I have knowledge, I would say, probably kind of in all areas, but we always feel like we know a lot, a little about a lot, right? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. What I'm really hoping to do when I finally really do sit down and give this the time that it deserves to go through the entire program and all of the segments is to have, you know, it will pull it together for me much the way it has, you know, we see it pulled together in the study manual. And to feel like you really kind of own the information on each of the regions and the, you know, the history and the history of the wine, of not only the history of the country, which I had studied prior to even ever getting into wine, but the sort of just the authenticity of the grape varieties and these regions that are emerging out of nowhere, even though they've been making wine for thousands of years.
I think that's one of the most exciting things. And being a perpetual wine student myself, anytime you take a course where just concepts of either a region or a style or a category of wine comes together, not only is that exciting, but I would love to talk to you in a couple more months when you're kind of halfway through this project or all the way through and find out what blew your mind the most. You know, because there's always some little nugget, even if somebody who's been studying wine for decades going, whoa, I never thought about it that way. What? So I'd be curious if you have that moment while you're taking this class and what it is.
I'm guessing I will, because even, you know, I feel like any industry event I go to, and I try to attend as many of the, you know, the seminars as possible when given the opportunity to go to these events. And I just feel like you always have an aha moment, even if I heard the same, you know, and I should never say it's the same seminar, but I mean, let's say Rías Baixas. Albariño, it's a region that we've been promoting for years, that we mm-hmm. really, from this office, we launched the original program for promoting those wines. And I go in, and every time I attend a new seminar provide, you know, given by a new, whether it's one of the new master sommeliers who's come in to become an ambassador for the wines, I feel like I'm learning something. So I don't doubt that I'm going to learn a lot once I'm able to sit down and go through systematically through the course.
I'm so excited for you to be on this journey. So like I said, I'm probably like tap in a couple, like maybe a year, and say, all right, what did you learn? I'd love to hear what blew your mind. But as far as wines from Spain goes, they have been very vital in the promotion of Spanish wine through these great match events. I have to admit, I've not been to the Food and Wine Classic. I don't know what a great match event is. Can you tell me what that is, who attends, and all that good stuff?
Well, the Great Match was, as it was originally conceived, and I mean, most of the intent of the event is the same, but as it was originally conceived, it was a way for us to bring together at the time, you know, the 15 or 20 Spanish wine suppliers, you know, and their importers in one room, and be able to show that Spain had this breadth of wine, and so people didn't just think about it as one thing or another. And of course, as the market for Spanish wine grew, as the number of new wineries, new regions came into the market, the event grew as well. And one of the things that we were, you know, that Spain lacked, which our Italian friends had, was a huge network of restaurants, and presenting, of course, Italian food, and Spanish food and Spanish restaurants were very, very few and far between. So when we originally designed the Great Match, the idea was to show the versatility of Spanish wine with the cuisines that people enjoyed eating in the United States. So we weren't even at that point thinking of so much of promoting it specifically with Spanish cuisine because they were few and far to, you know, come by, but rather with the idea of the Spanish, you know, the tapas, the style of eating of Spanish tapas, but made in the cuisines of multiple different restaurants and traditions. And so that's how it began. And it became sort of our annual walk around tasting Spanish wine with foods of the world and trying to show people how versatile Spanish wines are with food. Okay. So then where we ultimately over time though, and I would say definitely sort of over the last 10 years, the growth of Spanish interest in Spanish cuisine, the availability of great Spanish product, and now I'm talking about food products, and the rapid increase in number of Spanish restaurants or Spanish-inspired, you know, tapas bars grew, we kind of switched our model to be the same big, you know, giant, you know, big walk-around tasting, trying to bring together as many of the wines that are available in the market, but showing now, in this case, showcasing Spanish wine with Spanish food. And then sort of parallel to, and this was meant to be really not only for the trade, but then we also had a consumer portion, and it kind of became the Spanish wine and food event in the various cities where we host it. Today, the event is huge in New York because, you know, the availability both of the number of Spanish wine companies and wines in the market here, as well as the number of importers and distributors and buyers and all that. So our New York event is an annual event. And then we alternate other cities in around the country. Fairly regularly, we are doing at least one California city or one Texas city, alternating Miami with Chicago, and then also introducing smaller new markets. And this year we went to Austin, Texas for the first time. It's a smaller event. There are fewer players in that market, but always we find so well received when we go to a market that has not had a Spain-focused wine event before. So we're trying to include at least one new city every year and then doing two larger ones.
Okay, so how many events do you think you do a year? Did I miss that part?
No, for the Great Match, nowadays we only do three.
Okay.
Yeah, we do three, New York being the big one. And then, but really important to those events is also a seminar program, which touches on, again, sort of onto the education piece of what we do. And so for the trade, we always have anywhere from one to three or four different seminars offered prior in the morning and then during the afternoon hours of the event, because what we're finding is every single seminar we ever offer, the minute we post them, they sell out. So there clearly is a demand for the educational piece.
That is so exciting. The other question I had was, you know, we do have one last question our compulsory question. But before we get to that, I know I've sat here and kind of gone kind of crazy over this one website with Rick Fisher when I've interviewed him. And there's a company on the East Coast that is, you get their catalog and they have all the jamón and the different cheeses and the different coffees and everything is from Spain. But I'm sure we have some Hispanophiles out there that would like to know, as far as you're concerned, how they can dig deeper into the wines and the cuisines. And, you know, if they can't go visit that country, how would you recommend they get that experience, whether it's through books, blogs, events, websites, anything like that?
Well, I definitely think a couple of the websites, and I'm thinking, you're probably thinking one of them is the Spanish Table. And I'll, of course, now all of a sudden I'm blanking on the other one on the East Coast, but there are definitely
La Tienda.
Thank you.
That's
one, yeah. I mean, yes, I was going to say, I mean, I think both of those places are just great sources for sort of everything Spanish wine and food. We now in New York, we're very, very lucky because we now have the Mercado Little Spain, which is the Jose Andres project, which is just so exciting because it really brings to life and brings to fore, you know, really top Spanish food products, as well as bars and, you know, gin and tonic bars, vermouth bars. So, you know, really trying to bring sort of the highlights of some of the Spanish culinary scene into one center. So, I mean, that's certainly worth a visit if anybody is coming to New York. I would say that's one way to visit Spain in one afternoon and maybe spend the whole day there. And then, I mean, there's, I can't even say I'd point to any one book, but I feel like there's quite a few really exciting Spanish cookbooks. I mean, one could certainly start with all of Jose Andres's cookbooks, but there are a number of authors who have done some really, really, you know, fairly in-depth cookbooks on Spain. And, you know, sometimes just leafing through those books, even if you don't cook yourself, kind of transports mm-hmm. you to the country, and because they always have such interesting little parallel little stories that they tell.
What about sherry? I actually think the only book I have on Spanish wines is, I think it's Peter Liam's sherry book.
Yes.
But I think the Academy du Vin that Stephen Spurrier, he was actually our last guest, I think I interviewed on this podcast, and they just relaunched a sherry book as well. But do you have any favorite sherry books?
I mean, I think those two are certainly two of the, Peter Liam's is the last one that I am familiar with. Mm-hmm. And those are, you know, great places to go. You know, sherry for me is one of those areas. I love sherry, but I do feel like go to the region, go to the region, visit a sherry bodega or two, because even if you believe it's not a beverage for you, you will fall in love with it if you have a chance to experience it firsthand.
Especially when it comes to the different styles. I know we have a restaurant here where I live that offers a sherry flight, and they have like five or six different styles of sherry, from dry all the way to the PX. And I think it's really exciting when you can find a restaurant that will offer that, because I think people have a preconceived notion in their mind of this is what this beverage is, and I either like it or I don't. And they don't realize there's a whole range.
So unless you put down at least three sherries on the table in front of them and say, okay, taste this, the driest manzanilla, you know, and then at the other end, the sweetest, most unctuous PX or, you know, possibly sweet Oloroso, and then give them something in between and tell me, do you still not like any of it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, chances are you may not like the really, really dry. That maybe take you, that's, I feel like that's a little bit more of an acquired taste, but when people fall in love with it, they fall hard. But typically people will, if you give them somewhere in the middle of the range, and a Montillado or a slightly sweetened, what they refer to as sort of a medium sherry or an Oloroso that's not overly sweet, I find generally that's kind of the sweet spot, so to speak, for most people who think they don't like sherry.
And if you are one of those listeners, this might be your mind-blowing moment. You never know. But I do want to get to the last question, Katrin. If you were a wine, which one would you be and why?
Oh, well, I don't like that question, because it's sort of like saying, which is your favorite child? You know,
right.
You know, as a mother of many children, and I do feel like I am the mother of many children, but I would say probably as far as my sort of my own personality, I think it might even be where I sort of first fell in love with Spain, and it would be a Tempranillo. And my first experiences with Tempranillo were through Rioja, but I kind of feel like Pinot Noir, which is a grape that I love from other countries. You know, I feel like there's elegance there, which I hope I have a little bit of, and it can be very, you know, it can have, you know, kind of sweeter, fresh notes on the young side. And then it can be very mysterious as it ages and develop all kinds of nuanced flavors. So I think that's probably where I would go. But then I could say the same about a great Oloroso.
Yes.
or more recent, grapes that I have fallen in love with, like Mencia and the wines from Ribera Sacra. And
oh, yeah.
So it is really hard to pin it down, because I find I'm discovering new and exciting things about Spain and Spanish wines with every trip and, you know, every time I have the opportunity to taste.
So that will be your answer for this week. It could change, and you have that option.
And I thank you for that.
And I thank you for hanging out with us today. It was such a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
And for more information on Spanish Wine Scholar and any other programs, please visit wineschollarguild.org.